This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, February 5th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. The Montrose Planning Commission on Wednesday approved the construction of a large housing development and will send their recommendation to Montrose City Council. The Hub, a 500-unit, 35-acre multifamily and senior living housing development, got the green light with two conditions: reduce the project's density to 7 units per acre, down from 15, and require all perimeter setbacks to be set to 20 feet. The Montrose Press reports the cost of the project is expected to be up to $1.5 million. New housing for at-risk youth in Delta is getting a huge boost from donors. CASA, the court-appointed special advocates, serve kids going through civil dependency and neglect across a six-county area. The successful capital campaign supports a new 3,000-square-foot housing facility to be completed within 6 months of groundbreaking this spring. A collaborative campaign has been launched in Paonia for a Parks, Recreation, and Trails Master Plan. Paonia in Motion, as it will be known, involves the town, Citizen Input, and Western Slope Consulting of Carbondale. WSC has been hired with matching funds from Great Outdoors Colorado. The town hopes to enhance public spaces in and around town in a community-driven 8-month process. You can learn more at paoniainmotion.com. The Paradise Theater in Paonia is surveying local support to assess reopening plans. The short online survey sent in an email to supporters this week gauges interest for a return to in-person movies after COVID risk shuttered the beloved nonprofit all winter. The sheepdog trials are on for this year. Hotchkiss trustees voted unanimously to help sponsor the 18th annual Hotchkiss Sheepdog Trials. North Fork Merchant Herald reports that event director Gordon Hebenstreet told the council the event will happen one way or another, and the date will be May 7th through 9th over Mother's Day weekend. Voters in November narrowly passed a ballot measure to reintroduce gray wolves to Colorado, but according to press reports, they are already roaming in the north of our state. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials this week confirmed the capture of a 110-pound male gray wolf near North Park. They tranquilized and collared it to track travel patterns as the wolf fled into southern Wyoming. Gray wolves are on the state's endangered species list, but have been delisted at the federal level amid controversy over the decision that's now headed to court. The Biden administration has announced the addition of another tribal member to the team. Indian Country Today reports Arlando Teller of the Diné tribe in Arizona will be Deputy Assistant Secretary for Tribal Affairs for the U.S. Department of Transportation under newly confirmed Director Pete Buttigieg. Teller was just elected to a second term as a state rep in Arizona's November election, but resigned that seat on Sunday to head to Washington, D.C. And Colorado's new Democratic U.S. Senator John Hickenlooper has announced his committee assignments. Senator Hickenlooper has been assigned to four committees: Energy and Natural Resources, which oversees national energy policy, the National Park Service, and public lands under the purview of the BLM and Forest Service; the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, with jurisdiction over communications, consumer regulations, interstate commerce, highway safety, oceans, weather, atmospheric activities, plus research in science, engineering, and technology; the Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, which also includes student loans, aging, and support for people with disabilities; and the Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. Lauren Boebert has not been assigned to any committees yet, according to her official House website. A number of right-wing groups took part in the insurrection that broke into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and assaulted law enforcement and media members. At least one of the groups was founded here in our region. Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck has more.
Three known members of the anti-government group the Oath Keepers were the first to be charged with conspiring to commit violence just a couple of weeks after the riot. But this group didn't start in D.C. or even on the East Coast. A man named Elmer Stewart Rhodes was in Montana when he started the Oath Keepers in 2009. Sam Jackson researches political conflict and wrote a book about the organization.
The group was really organized around this perception that the federal government is increasingly tyrannical.
Jackson says the Oath Keepers formed as the patriotism of 9/11 was wearing off. Its name is based on the oath that members of the military and police swear to, specifically the bit about protecting the Constitution.
And of course, Rhodes and his friends had very specific understandings of what it means to keep that oath and what sorts of enemies to the Constitution there were that people needed to worry about.
The group rallies around conspiracies about the deep state and government officials. Hillary Clinton has been a frequent target. Today, COVID-19 and mass voter fraud are major talking points. Right-wing media organizations that thrive on conspiracy theories and false narratives have helped drive the outrage. Take the media outlet InfoWars, founded by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
I'm Alex Jones, your host, Stuart Rhodes, riding a shotgun.
Jones recently had Rhodes on his show where they talked about an alternate reality. Rhodes warned that Chinese communists were working with President Joe Biden to sever all lines of communication in the U.S.
What patriots should be doing is in their own towns and counties, coming together, squaring away their comms, getting CB radios, ham radios.
The Montana Human Rights Network tracks and counters disinformation from groups like militias and white supremacists. Rachel Carol Rivas is with the nonprofit. She says the Oath Keepers are dangerous specifically because they're influencing members of the military, veterans, and the police.
The Oath Keepers, quite frankly, have taken that legitimacy that law enforcement offers, and they've manipulated it to give credit to a movement that is otherwise, you know, counter completely to what it means to be leaders in a nation, in a county, in a city, in a state.
That said, Carol Rivas is hopeful the U.S. can push these ideologies back to the fringe. Still, she says the January 6th insurrection will have an effect.
Some folks will be emboldened, but other folks will be shocked and potentially deterred, because it's one thing to fantasize about doing it. It's another to actually go to jail.
But Carol Rivas says just one person following this ideology can still pose a threat. She points to the 80s, when law enforcement started cracking down on militia groups and there were successful lawsuits against white nationalists. One of those suits took aim at a guy named Louis Beam Jr., who just came up with another tactic.
He started advocating for the leaderless resistance, the cell strategy, and the lone wolf strategy.
Basically, splitting up to avoid getting caught. And lone wolves have a history of producing more casualties. That includes the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. Timothy McVeigh, a decorated Iraq war veteran and anti-government extremist, killed 168 people, including 19 children. Carol Rivas says to prevent these acts of terrorism, we need to help people gradually discern fact from the wealth of misinformation that's out there.
I don't think that you can kind of unravel the whole thing at all at once, but you can poke holes, right? Like you can poke a hole in that water balloon and it begins to leak.
She says we also need to talk about where our government systems are failing us and find ways to fix them together so these conspiracies and extremists don't exploit them for their own gain. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Have a great weekend.